Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. Welcome to another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Going to jump right on into it, man. I'd like to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He is my partner in podcast crime. Reg, what is the deal? Black History Month revolutionary pimping.
Mm-hmm. Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. What's happening with you?
Man, you know how it goes, man. World keeps turning. It is what it is, bro.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
World gone mad. You know, like this, I say, bro, world gone mad.
Yeah, yeah.
We're gone mad.
Man, this weather in the South is crazy, man. It's like 30-something degrees, 30, 40s or whatever, which is cold to me. And I could have sworn my neighbor, bro, was pressure washing yesterday. Like, are you crazy?
Man,
these motherfuckers kill me, man. I'm like, okay, is it not ice settling up on you, bro?
I mean, hey, man, it has kind of the weather kind of caught people by surprise, man. But you know how it gets down here, man. We biggest snowstorm I've ever been in was still, I think it was maybe 2003, 2004, April. It was an April snowstorm.
Charlie,
yeah.
Is that the big ice thing that hit?
I mean, it was snow, and we got like 18 inches of snow in like 5 hours or something like that. I mean, it shut shit down, man. You know how they do down here. So, you know, it was over.
Yeah, it was. I remember that.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was kind of unpredictable. But I'm thinking, and not that I'm your local meteorologist and shit, but I mean, I'm always saying that, you know, February is colder than January here for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we barely got below freezing, you know, on a daily basis. I mean, it always rose at least 10 degrees, 10, 15 degrees above freezing every day in January for the most part. So we'll see how it goes, man.
Yeah.
But enough of the pleasantries, man. What we getting into today, man? You know, we're probably going to shake the culture up a little bit today. What's up with it?
Another top 10, bro. People seem to like it, and we like it. You know, we like talking about, you know, we dig into music, and we dig into, you know, just culture, entertainment culture sometimes, just to sort of bring out the blackness in it, of course, and just sort of celebrate and have fun.
Right. So for those that don't know, I mean, we've done a ton of top 10 shows, and the reason why we do them is to basically accentuate black culture on a lot of different fronts. I mean, we've done music, movies, sitcoms, non-singing singers. Yeah. I mean, we've done a lot of different things. And the purpose of actually doing these shows, the top 10 shows, is to accentuate the culture. Because if you debate the culture, then that means you respect the culture. If you respect the culture, then you're less apt to let someone appropriate it, you know, or to, you know, slide. I mean, they're going to appropriate it because they love us. They like to take everything that we have and what we produce, but you're less apt to play along with it. I mean, you're more apt to call it out if you respect and love your own culture. So, and to that end, I mean, I got the Our Culture Versus the Vultures t-shirt on, man. So I'm ready.
That's very, very fitting, sir.
Yeah.
Very fitting.
Very good.
Yes. So, put that out.
So what, we'll be top 10 in the day, man.
Okay, so as you guys know, me and Fresh tend to be a little analytical with stuff, and we're doing the top 10 consecutive albums. Okay, so what does that mean? So several months ago, I was chilling with Fresh on his at his estate, you know, at the fire pit, chilling, had some sticks, you know, had a little beverage, and we were talking. He was playing some music, albums over albums, you know, mainly across hip hop. And we were like, yo, those two albums there, you know, could have made a classic double album set type of thing. So we just started vibing on that and say, hey, you know what, let's just talk this out on the show. And so the top 10 consecutive albums
Oh, you did two?
I did two. It could be more. Clearly, you must have did more than two.
Yeah,
consecutive albums.
I had to break it down, bro.
Okay.
You know how I do. All right.
From an artist, and we just sort of ranked it. So I'm sure, as you know, we have probably some different criteria.
Right, right.
And we have a few differences, I'm sure, here today.
What's your criteria first? Knowing that it's all subjective, you know, but because let me tell you, bro, when we did the top 10, what was the top 10 hip hop albums? Man, people were flaming us, man, on some stuff, talking about, man, how you gonna put that in honorable mention? That's one of my favorite albums. You know how they do, bro. But my whole thing is, you know, man, I mean, it's always
gonna be that.
It's all subjective, man. And this is purely opinion. There's no science to this, even though I would like to try to convince people that there is. There's no real science to this, man. So go ahead with your criteria, man.
My criteria basically is it has to be a full album for me. Like, I can't just like certain big songs in it or whatever. It has to be a full album like for me. And it has to be from one. It doesn't have to be the debut album flow to the sophomore, you know, and the third album, whatever. It can be their fourth album and fifth album, depending on the artist.
Right.
And I mean, that's really it. I have hip hop and R&B on mine. So it's just stuff that I like. It wasn't over a particular period of time. It's just whatever came to mind to me that I just knew immediately. Oh yeah, these two, these three or whatever. That was me, man. What was yours?
Well, my criteria, man, was I didn't have to like every song on the album. Because I mean, as you know, I mean, there are very few albums out there that just hit from front to back, you know, across any genre, very, very few. I didn't have to necessarily like the whole album, but the one thing that I started to eliminate some of my 70s stuff because I wanted to be able to speak from the point of what I lived. As far as musical culture, as far as what I lived through, where see the effect that it had on the culture. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So a lot of the 70s, even though I was born in the 70s, I wasn't mature enough from a culture standpoint to understand why this album was important and this album was important and this album was important. So a lot of that stuff is not there. Most of my stuff is from the 80s on up. So with the exception of a few, and then you'll understand why. It's not back-to-back albums. They're all consecutive, but some of them are 3, 4, and even 5 albums. But those are consecutive albums. So, that was my thing, man. Hip hop R&B mix. You know, I do have a couple ties. It's not an exhaustive list. It's not as long as some of the other lists that we've done, like the MCs and the producers, and that's not quite.
Because you have like 1A, 2B, and shit.
Yeah, it's not quite that long. I do have some solid placements, but there are a couple ties, and they're not that many. I'm looking at my iPad right now. There's only 5 honorable mentions. You know, I invite people to go back and look at the top 10 albums that we did, or any of the top 10s that we've done, and you can see why because some of the albums are probably going to be on there on this list today. So, because for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through and say this was a hit, and this was a hit, and this was a hit, and this was a hit, because we've actually talked about that one before and gave a pretty exhaustive
review,
especially when it came to we did top 10 R&B groups. We did top 10 hip hop albums. I mean, we put a lot of stuff out there that people can really go listen to on Apple Podcasts and check that out. Unfortunately, you know, we weren't doing video back then, so they don't have the benefit of the expressions that we had.
Yeah.
Because a lot of this stuff was crazy, man. It was crazy, but
they didn't see what we went through.
They didn't see what we went through, but they get to see today, man. So, So I'm gonna go ahead and let you start off, man, with your fucked up ass list. You know how we do. Yo, fuck.
There we go. I knew that was coming. And just real quick, personal impact to what you were saying. Personal impact had a lot to do. That was part of my criteria as well. So, you know, I had to sort of feel it. All right. So
hold on. But before you go there too. Yeah. I mean, personal impact was kind of hit me that way, but a lot of it was because some of these artists I don't necessarily follow, but being a hip hop fan or an R&B fan, I know how others reacted to it and how it was absorbed in our culture.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying? So not saying that I hate any artists on my list, but what I'm saying is that, you know, some of them I don't have all their CDs or downloaded their music or anything like that. Some of them I just know what the impact was and what people thought about it. So.
Yeah. I was very particular about consecutive, and you'll see why.
Okay.
Let's run it. All right. So honorable mention in no particular order, R. Kelly. Let me just get him out the way. we can't lie. R. Kelly was made R&B in the 90s that pretty much everyone liked. But I have him honorable mention. I have Jodeci honorable mention. I have SWV, my favorite female group, SWV. Jill Scott, I have her honorable mention. And there are three hip hop MCs that in my top 10 of all time, Jay-Z, Nas, and LL Cool J. In my honorable mention. And so here's why. Real quick. With the other single artists, to me their debuts were here. You're not looking. The debuts were here, went down, and then everything was left for me. With Jodeci, with R. Kelly, Jill Scott, SWV, it's others. It's gonna be stuff we're gonna forget, right? And then with Nas and LL and Jay-Z is the same thing. It was like Jay-Z. Again, I said with consecutive for me, it was like Reasonable Doubt, Skip, and then like Blueprint, you know, Skip. And it's like every other album for me. Kingdom Come came up, went down, 444, Nas, Illmatic, one of the hottest, probably best hip hop albums of all time on most people's list. It was written, was tight, but then everything was on the level it was written. Nothing could get back to that Illmatic, and that I couldn't really link it. Otherwise, I'd be linking all day for Nas, Jay-Z, because they kept the same energy, you know, and you sort of went with them through time. Even LL, same thing. Radio, but Bigger and Deafer was probably better than radio for me. So LL's albums went like this for me too. And so I was like consecutive, where it was just one picks up from where the last one left off. I got very granular there, so I had to put those guys in the honorable mention, but they're very close. Very close.
All right, man.
All right, so let's check you out.
My honorable mentions are I got T.I. with King T.I. versus T.I.P. and Paper Trail. Really kind of solidify what trap music could be, you know, within the culture. I think that, you know, pretty much every album after that has probably taken something from that trilogy.
Yeah.
I got The Game, the documentary, Doctor's Advocate, and LAX. Just sonically on some other shit that was just, you know, I don't necessarily get into the whole, you know, gang motif shit like that. That's not really my thing, but sonically speaking, it's hard to really argue with that. Ludacris, man, Back for the First Time, Word of Mouth, Chicken and Beer. Luda had hits, bro.
Man,
Luda had hits. He had club jump. He had
the really did.
They had hits. But I don't know how far he moved. You know, he moved the culture. I mean, he moved ATL culture. But I don't know how far he moved, you know, hip hop.
Yeah.
Say, Eminem, man, Slim Shady LP, Marshall Mathers LP, The Eminem Show. Those are three consecutive albums that were just, you know, lyrically otherworldly stuff that, you know, that we weren't really weren't really hearing. The musical landscape was there. You know, the crazy man shit kind of gets old. That's why he didn't actually crack the top 10. You know, it's like, okay. I would like to see more straight up MC shit from him, because he can do that. That's his group. Those are his roots. I would prefer I'd prefer to see more of that than the, you know, dramatic concept, you know, fighting my demons kind of shit. You know, that shit kind of gets old to me after a while, you know.
Yeah.
And then Drake is on my list as honorable mention. Thank Me Later, Take Care, Nothing Was the Same. Really kind of not only, you know, put him on the map, you know, with all those hits that came off of those albums, but I mean, sonically, though, those are some really, really good. You know, it kind of ushered in that lo-fi kind of hip hop sound and made it kind of mainstream.
So yeah, it did.
So, you know, I was thinking, you know, culturally speaking, I think that it's so new that he couldn't crack the top 10 to me. But I felt like that it was worth mentioning because, you know, he did kind of shift the culture in that particular sonically, as far as that, you know, if you listen to it.
Okay.
So those are my honorable mentions, man.
Yeah. None of those except Luda have I really listened to a lot of their albums. Like, I appreciate T.I. and those guys, of course, Eminem. And I'm surprised you even mentioned Eminem in a sense, but I haven't really gotten to their albums, those guys' albums like that. So I wouldn't have known.
All right, so we're going to go number by number, right?
Yeah, number by number, man.
All right, let's go.
I'm going to hit you at number 10, Kanye West. College Dropout to Late Registration. Really, both dropped within about a year and a half of each other. I thought it exemplified, without going through songs or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think both of those albums were, you could literally put them together and it would have been the same vibe before he, in my opinion, started to sort of dwindle over the years. But when he came out strong, man. And I remember the Late Registration album, man. It was the weekend. You remember my Mercedes? It was the weekend I bought my Mercedes.
Y'all hear this? Y'all hear this motherfucker on here flexing. You remember when I had my Mercedes? Remember
Nigga, you had one too? But I'm just saying, dude, that was the
weekend. We had Benzes at the same time, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
The motherfuckers was in the shop at the same goddamn time, too.
Yeah. It came out the weekend before I bought it. Now I'm a rock and Late Registration. So everything, once again, personal impact, things that sort of shaped me. But I think those two albums there just really made a move in hip hop. So that's my number 10.
Okay. Yeah, I got Kanye on my list too, man. Not at number 10, but when we get to, he's higher on my list. When we get there, I actually had a graduation onto it too, because I felt like that it was it was a pretty good, it was a good bookend.
It was.
I got a three-way tie at 10.
Here we go. Fresh is top 20, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. I got Tupac, man. Me Against the World, All Eyes on Me, The Don Caluminati, 7 Day Theory. Those three.
Yeah. I literally had that. I really had that as honorable, but I said, okay, but that's I can feel that. And I think All Eyes on Me was probably the best out of that.
I don't think so.
Sonically, to what you said.
Yeah, sonically, no? Yeah. But I think Me Against the World is probably the better album. All Eyes on Me seemed kind of, it almost seemed like it was, that was an executive album. It almost seemed like that was really a record label album. That wasn't, I know he wrote it. But yeah, I just kind of feel like that they were, from a record company standpoint, you know, I think Death Row was looking for, they was looking for the paper, trying to get that money back off of. You know? Okay. So
it was a double album within itself too. It was like 20.
I mean, it was
wrong.
Don't get me wrong.
All Eyes on Me was.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the list. It's in the top 10, so you know it's dope. But I'm just saying that I think that Me Against the World was a better album. Tied is Lil Wayne, The Carter 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
That was back when, I mean, to be honest, man, if I could have put some of Lil Wayne's mixtape stuff on there, except for the fact that he was rapping over other people's beats. Lyrically speaking, I think he was really in the zone at that particular point.
He'd been in the zone. And that was probably the peak of Wayne to me from an album standpoint.
Right.
He's had the same flow, but yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean he was just spitting out crazy shit, man. And then this one, man, I went back and forth on this, man, for a minute, but then when I went back and kind of listened to some stuff on it, I had to give him props, man. And tie for 10 is J. Cole, man. Born Center, 2014, Forest Hills Drive, For Your Eyes Only, and KOD. Albums, man, if you listen to those albums, he is spitting.
He is spitting like
crazy, and the production is crazy. And when you talk about having the same energy, I mean, the creativity is there. I mean, it's just very, 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 very solid, man. I mean, very solid, man.
Yeah, his content and his music is pretty much consistent. So it's hard to sort of separate, in my opinion, separate his albums.
Right. Like, but that, yeah, those are four
bangers. I haven't seen him.
Huh? Those are four bangers right there. And like I said, I think KOD probably got the most.
Okay.
I probably had the most commercial success. But yeah, I mean, this dope. This dope. I need to check that J. Cole shit out for real. All right, man. That's it. Number nine.
Number nine. I have one.
Okay.
Kendrick Lamar. Good Kid, Mad City to Pimp a Butterfly. And I said on the show prior when we did the albums, I said to Pimp a Butterfly, to me, it's probably the best album in the last decade, period. But And I think you adversely said you like Mad City better. And I think
I like Mad City.
Those two, I think, pretty much earmarked Kendrick. I mean, before Mad City, he was pretty much, people knew he was coming, and then boom, Mad City knocked you in the mouth. And I think To Pimp a Butterfly, like you said, is more of a studio vibe. The production is just crazy. I mean, the hits on there, like We Gonna Be All Right, and I mean, everyone pretty much knows the album. But that one came out in 2015. So it's like maybe about a 3-year gap, maybe about 2.5-year gap between those two. But I think definitely I think they're worthy of this top 10. What you got at 9, man?
But actually, I have a three-way tie for 9. And no, seriously.
I know.
The first one that I put down, though, I'm looking at right here, is Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
But I added Damn onto the list, too, because Damn's a strong album, too.
I think Damn, see, I'm very specific with if it goes down a notch. Damn wasn't bad. But I think coming from the energy from those previous two,
I don't think it was down. I just think it was different. I mean, whenever you win a Pulitzer Prize for a rap album, dude. I mean,
that's according to who? Pulitzer people.
What I'm saying though is that from a lyrical content standpoint, I mean, the shit was still as tight as anything that he ever done.
Like, yeah,
different. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I ain't gonna crucify you on it, but I'm just, you know, that's my two cents.
Also got LL Cool J on there, man. Radio, Bigger and Deffer. And to be honest with you, man, I mean, when I look back at the culture impact, I could have had that a lot higher. But there's so many albums that I have above it, you know, they're so strong, in my opinion, that I don't feel bad putting my man right there.
No doubt.
So, and also the last one, is Whitney Houston. The first album, Whitney Houston, self-titled Whitney Houston, and then the second album called Whitney.
Okay.
You're talking about 40 million albums off those two albums right there. I mean, and the hits are ridiculous. I mean, I'm not gonna rattle off hits, man. People can look this shit up and you can see, like, damn, that was on there.
Yeah.
I mean, Whitney was official, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, to me, her first album, I think can't be matched. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to really argue anything about Whitney.
Yeah, she didn't fall off, man. She didn't fall off. I mean, eventually.
I think that's your girl, low key. Is that your girl, low key? I feel like you mentioned Whitney before. That's one of your favorites.
Okay. I mean, I just recognize the work. I'm not a.
You're not really a big fan.
I'm not a big fan, but like I said, I mean, you know, this shit got played on the radio so much, you know the song.
Yeah.
So those are my number nines, man. All right, number eight.
Number eight. The Roots, Illadelph, in 1996. Things Fall Apart in 99. Yeah, I know you probably had them higher.
No, I didn't have them at all.
Really?
I didn't have them at all.
Okay, we can just end this show right now.
I didn't have them at all.
Illadelph.
I mean, man, I just didn't think, because I had Black Thought as my number one MC and top 10 MC. So don't trip.
I know I just didn't think.
I'm baffled. Yeah,
hey, we're gonna miss. Yeah, I'm sure I missed some too, but. Illadelph, when it came out, to me it was Black Thought's really truly his debut from the Roots, if you will. Organics, you had Do You Want More prior to that, and then I think he came out and said let me clear my throat and really hit you in the mouth with Illadelph. And I think that album had a lot of impact with me time wise, and then Things Fall Apart, I think, just sort of picked it back up. You could have kept going Phrenology but I think those two together, I think when he came back with Things Fall Apart, they just sort of buttoned up that, buttoned it up a little bit from where they left off. So I think that's a good spot for the Roots on number eight.
Okay. I agree, man. I'm just pissed that I didn't think about, because I probably would have tacked on to that at the end, but I got a tie for number eight. Just suit up. Really hard, man. The first one is Usher.
Okay.
My Way, 8701, and then Confessions. And the reason why I put three is because My Way had hits on it, but then to me, 8701 went up a notch.
Okay.
And then Confessions went up another notch. That's why, you know, that it really showed the development.
Yeah.
It really showed his development, and the hits were just crazy, and they were, sonically speaking, it's like when they got 8701, that's when they dropped the Neptunes on there. A few songs on it. And then Confessions, man, that shit was just like, Confessions is a front to back album.
Okay.
Confessions. So to me, that string, I mean, that shit was crazy, man. That shit was crazy.
Usher is like probably like the Michael Jackson of people who literally grew up with him. Like he's been very consistent. Yeah, but yeah. I'll up you up one on this one, Fresh. I would say his best album to me was his debut album. And he was 16 years old.
Talking about the one that got Can You Get With It and all that on it?
Yeah, it was entitled Usher, and that's what I guess I know Puff did that, or Bad Boy, but I'm not sure if the second one was Bad Boy.
My Way is when he based on some of the sounds, man. That was Jermaine Dupri.
Okay. Because I had Usher
on his first one. He had Puffy on there and Devontae Swing and some other folks on there too.
Dude, that first album, yeah. But yeah, I feel you on that.
Yeah. So and then a tie, and this was really hard, man, because one of the albums that are in this is kind of an EP. You know, I didn't really have no rules as far as EPs, so I just kind of put it in there, and that's Ice Cube, man. America's Most Wanted, Killer Will, and Death Certificate.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean,
it is what it is.
What do you say?
It is what it is.
And I thought about Cube. I don't have him on here, but I was like, I know he probably number two or three on Fresh.
No,
I'm surprised you got a little low.
You know, if I was just doing hip hop, he probably would be, based on my list, he would probably be 4.
Okay. I'm just
in the neighborhood. We were just doing it. Yeah. So, but okay. That's it, man. That's it. Y'all know about Cube, man. Cube is not just Friday and Are We There Yet? And the people that, and the dude that they tried to destroy during the political cycle. Cube's a dope MC. So y'all need to, if you don't know.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. All right. So 7. I have a tie.
Let me talk about me.
I know, but this is my first tie. It's only 2. So I got Prince. Okay. So
what?
19. Yeah. Prince. So 1999 to Purple Rain. Okay. And now Prince, of course,
do y'all see the type of shit that I had to go through?
You can stretch Prince all day, but see why I have him here? Because clearly from your reactions, it should be higher. But anyway, is really truly complete album for me. Now we both had in this movie soundtrack thing. We both had Purple Rain as the top movie soundtrack of all times. And I think that's when he gained his international, you know, honor, if you will. And I like the fact that 1999, if Controversy was before Purple Rain, it wouldn't have been a nice, consistent, to me, consecutive. That's where we at, consecutive. Because Prince, I think most people really like Prince, but I think if you dig into every song in the album, for me, for 99, not every song, but the songs, I think the main songs are like Lady Cab Driver, Dance Music, Sex Romance. So those type of funk songs that came through, I think really woke that album up to where I think it's legitimate to have a good consecutive 99 to Purple Rain. And Prince was dropping albums every year. I think one every 10 years or something. So I got Prince at 7, tied with Sade. Okay. Sade, mainly all of Sade. Sade could easily be the best artist that from album to album of all time, really. But consecutive, Stronger Than Pride to Love Deluxe, those two. Really set the mold for me from a jazzy R&B vibe. I think most people love. I got a cousin who says he won't date a chick. He would never date a chick because if she didn't like, that was his litmus test. She hadn't liked Sade. But those were two there for me. Prince and Sade, number 7. Yeah, brother.
I left Sade off the list, man, and I should have had Sade on there, but the Prince thing, bro, I'll talk about that later. Number 7, gonna be real quick. Move on, Kanye West. I got College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation. Yeah. We've already talked about it. I just had him higher than you.
Okay.
Number 6. Go ahead, you're number 6.
You just had one. I was waiting for the tie. Number 6, Outkast. Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music, 94, ATL ends in 96. A great debut album that I think had probably the best follow-up. They hit you over the head with Elevators, and I think they kept on going. So I got Outkast, but number 6. You looking like De Niro over there.
Number 6. I got a tie. My number 6 is Outkast.
What?
I know, right? Let's go ahead and see this. But I actually took it from Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music, ATLNs, Aquemini, Stankonia. I really think that the energy was actually really the same, but it showed the growth. lyrically and sonically. You know, you can't expect them to be the same. I really felt like that it was that they really came out, especially with with Aquemini, you know, because people really thought that they was going to fall off, and then they hit them pretty hard with that.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was just really some really good organic growth, from an artist perspective. It was dope, man. It was dope. And they're tied with Jodeci.
Okay.
And I got, obviously, Forever My Lady, Diary of a Mad Band, the show, the after party, the hotel. To me, that show, they show growth without straying too far from what they actually were. Because to me, Forever My Lady really, really seemed like that was more of a... It was 90s, but it was more New Jack Swingish.
I was gonna say New Jack Swing.
It was
side B. You would skip side B, sort of.
Yeah, I mean it was kind of New Jack Swingish, and it was but still, it was still strong enough to be a really, really strong debut album. Mm-hmm. And Diary of a Mad Band was more lush. It was more, more synth bass, more, it was just sonically more pleasing. And then the show, The After Party of the Hotel, just seems like they kind of just put all of that together, for a concept album. It was a little bit more grown, if you will. So, like I said, I mean, that I had to put them there. I was trying to figure out, where I was going to really put them, because I thought the three Kanye West albums were really, really strong too, and what they did to the culture. But then I looked at how Jodeci moved the R&B culture, but actually had some hip hop infused with their image.
And
that shit just kind of exploded.
I mean, Jodeci, treat them like they want to be treated. That was one of the first, when you say fusion with R&B.
Father MC.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. But that's one of my favorite groups. But
right. But you had him in honorable mention, though, bro.
I had a problem. It's our criteria, because I like how you say with the New Jack Swing, whatever. I felt like I like all of their slow stuff, mellow stuff, and with anytime they go high tempo, until they get to that the show, the After Party album, I think it was just too it's like stay in your lane, like don't increase the tempo, like stay with those slow songs. So from a complete album, from one album to the next, I had a problem with it based on my criteria.
Okay, I got you.
All right, so where we halfway. So number five, were you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
You done? Okay. Five, I got my baby, Erykah Badu. From Baduism to Mama's Gun. I think it was highly anticipation. Baduism, I mean, one of my favorite albums, really, in 97. 97 was a good year. Love Jones came out. The movie, it was just a very change of the guards type of thing, type of year. And then Mama's Gun, we waited like 3 years for her to drop something else, and I think she really came with it, with some diversity. She had a cut on there with Wyclef. Didn't You Know? I mean, it's certain songs it's just today I still play. So I think that's collectively, I mean, I could have kept going with her, really. I like Worldwide Underground, but I think she lost a little fire with that one. But those two are my number five.
Yeah, I only like Baduism, man. That's the only thing that I really,
What?
Not saying that I didn't like other songs that she made after that, but as far as a collective, I couldn't go any further than Baduism, man. So.
Okay. Wow.
Same thing with Jill Scott too, man. Words of Sounds Volume 1. Really kind of after that first album, man. She just never got me more than. And maybe it was because it was at the kind of the genesis of the whole neo soul thing, and it was so different, and it hit the ear different. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But yeah. So And like, again, not saying that I didn't like songs that they made after their debut albums. This is that, like I said, as a package, I just never found another album as enjoyable as their first. So that's why I couldn't do them. So
yeah.
All right, now check this out. My number five, man. My number five, I got Jay-Z. Okay.
Okay.
Now, but there's a tie.
Okay.
There's a tie with Jay-Z.
Oh.
Because I feel like that Reasonable Doubt, In My Lifetime, Volume 1 and Volume 2, Hard Knock Life, is one set of great albums. Mm-hmm. Then, like you said, he kind of dipped off a little bit, but Blueprint 3, Magna Carta, Holy Grail, and 444 was a totally different cat.
And he's in that Kanye. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it was a totally different dude, but it was still. Mm. I mean, he's the only, you know, double three-peat that I got. You know, because I mean, I feel like that those two sets of three albums are really, really good. I mean, and I'm not going to go over all the songs and all the stuff because we got them kind of time, but you know, people can check them out, man. I'm putting the album covers up there so you guys can see. So I mean, but who doesn't know what the albums are? But
yeah, I didn't like Magna Carta, but to me, he sort of flipped. He was just up and down for me. I like Kingdom Come. I like
and the funny thing about Kingdom Come, like, people really trash Kingdom Come. They really trashed Kingdom Come. I don't know why, but
yeah, Black Album was. Jigga, to me, really defines a lot of hip hop culture. If you just think about album, he was dropping albums when he came out. He was just dropping, but it was consistent, very consistent.
Right. So, right. He's number five by himself. So
yeah, two. All right, that's different. That's different.
All right.
All right. Number four, Public Enemy. Takes a million, A Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. Your top hip hop album, and that was dropped in '88, and 2 years later, Fear of the Black Planet, which was my top. And I think hands down, this could have been higher than four, but I think hands down, the vibe, the message, and the feel, you're talking late 80s into the 90s, how they sort of broke into their messages were just very strong, very unapologetic. And really, to me, those albums complemented each other. So that's my number four.
All right, man. My number four is also Public Enemy. And you know how I feel about It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. But when looking at the consecutive albums, I actually took...
I went backwards.
I got Yo Bum Rush the Show, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, Fear of a Black Planet, and Apocalypse 91, The Enemy Strikes Back. Primarily because when we talk about energy, that energy was there on every single album. Yeah. That same pro-black type of motif, the message, the music and the message and things like that. You know, and I put Yo Bum Rush the Show because a lot of people at the time didn't get the Bomb Squad and the type of sonics that they were doing, so it didn't sound like anything else that was really out, so a lot of folks didn't gravitate toward it. But when you go back with a retrospective ear, when you go back and you start listening to it, you'd be like, damn, that shit was kind of deep and it was dope. So that's why I started there, because it showed progression in the sonics as well. Because by the time you got to Fear of a Black Planet, the sounds are just like they were just they had perfected that sound. And then Apocalypse 91 was just as dope as Fear of a Black Planet in my eye. So that's what's up, man. So
it is. Yeah, so yeah, you stretched some of yours. Mine were just more or less two of them, but I can feel that. So where are we at? Three. All right, number three is the greatest entertainer of all time outside of James Brown, Michael Jackson. Got Off the Wall in 79 and into Thriller in 82. And that is the oldest duo that's on my list. And but I had to, I mean, I think Thriller just, you know, sort of like when you talk about sonically or whatever, I mean, we know, everyone knows Thriller as an album. Mm-hmm. But Off the Wall, I think, has some hits that really resonates with me now as a good album. It's just Thriller just turning up a notch as far as, you know, just the production or whatever. I mean, Quincy just did his thing, but I mean, how can you, I mean, I had to put MJ somewhere in here, and those two albums, really his best albums ever, really, hands down. So that's MJ number three.
Okay. My number three, there's a tie for number three.
Yes.
And I have A Tribe Called Quest.
What?
Yep. Tribe Called Quest, People's Instinctive Travels, Low End Theory, Midnight Marauders. Tie with Mary J. Blige, What's the 411, My Life and Share My World. The impact that these particular albums had on their respective genres was insane. I know Tribe's your favorite rap group or whatnot, and you probably have them number one. But and I thought about it, man, but when I thought about cultural impact, when I thought about Black music cultural impact, Tribe and Mary doesn't have the same type of impact as the other artists that I have. But from a genre shaping perspective, at the time that they came out, you know, Tribe Called Quest really put that jazz infusion, you know, that flavor in it, you know, along with, I mean, it so well to where a lot of folks really started making that their motif in regards to production and the consistency. Because, you know, we talked about when we were sitting out there smoking cigars and shit, man, we were saying that Low End Theory, Midnight Marauders would have been the best hip hop double album ever.
That's what started this whole conversation,
That really would have been the best. It could have been the best hip hop album. You'd have had to mix up the songs a little bit to kind of make it blend sonically, since they were made, you know, in different time periods. But those two, if you put those on one album, it could have been the greatest hip hop album of all time, and it wouldn't even be close. It really wouldn't be close. Even better than It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back in any of that, if that had been on one album. But since they're two different soundscapes from two different periods, you have as far as Mary J. Blige goes, man, Mary J. Blige actually, whether or not it was on purpose, whether or not it was a corporate brain trust that did it, really changed the landscape of hip hop and R&B music as a formative genre, you know, being together with the not only just the style, or not just the music, but with the style as well. You know, the whole being an attractive woman but having a hip hop bravado. A lot of that was probably you know, corporately driven, but then some of that was probably her, because, you know, she was a little rough around the edges at the time, being a young woman. So
she brought that swag.
Yes,
she did have a female perspective.
Right. Yeah. She did have a swag, and then the songs were so relatable that it just took off. You know, it was still R&B. It was still music, even though it had, you know, the boom bap type of sound to it, especially, you know, What's the 411? And, you know, started getting a little bit more musical, a little bit more R&B-ish as she got older. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she really took it there, man. And so I felt mm-hmm. like it was very influential, and it deserved to be in the top three for that.
Okay. Was that it? Those two, Tribe and Mary?
Yep. Okay. Tribe
and Mary. And clearly, I think our list over time tend to be, I think one of the clear differences is personal impact for me versus impact to the culture for you. So I see where you, you know, where you are there. But my number two, I got Mary J. So What's the 411 in My Life? I think not to reiterate everything that you said, but I agree with your take on what you said about Mary. Every song on both of those albums, I like. Every song on both of those albums. And even you said Share My World, I think you added in there.
Share My World
was nice. Mm-hmm. And again, my lists were consecutive 1-2, but it could have added that as well. But I don't, the timing, 92 and 94, you know, I always talk about my college years. That was in the middle of my college years. And just imagine the vibe, the feel of Mary J. Blige on HBCU campus and just parties or whatever. And it's just, Mary just was just, she was that chick, man. She really changed the culture. So I'm not, again, I, you said pretty much everything that I agree with on it, but my number two is Mary J. What's the 411 in my life?
All right. So my number two is Prince.
Okay.
And I had to really, because to be honest with you, this is the first, because I knew where we were coming from with the show as far as what sparked the conversation. But Prince was the first artist that I thought of outside of Tribe. And this is the artist that made me start saying, okay, I can't just stop at two. Because when I think about the first time I heard Controversy, I didn't really get it. But then I listened to Controversy as an adult and I was like, yo, this shit is dope. Mm-hmm. Thinking about the time in which I heard it, I was an elementary school kid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
then I listened to it as an adult. I'm like, man, he was so far ahead of his time. He was way on down the road. He was way on down the road. That's what brought that album into the fold. Then 1999 was kind of an extension of that. And just like you said before, some of the other funk tracks in there kind of elevated that whole album. Cause that was 1999 was a double album, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I had the vinyl a long time ago, but and obviously Purple Rain. Now, I do believe that there was Purple Rain was so far high up, that there was going to be a dip. But still, Around the World in a Day, Parade, and Sign of the Times, in the absence, now feel me on this now, those three albums, Around the World in a Day, Parade, I'm looking at my iPad right here if you see me looking off,
yeah,
and Sign of the Times, in the absence of Purple Rain, would be on par with Controversy in 1999. You see what I'm saying? So it's like I couldn't put all those albums together or not, and Purple Rain kind of sticks up like this. Yeah, that was the apex, but those other ones were on the same level as far as commercial appeal, production, just about the, you know, the amount of radio played hits and things of that nature. It just didn't reach the stratospheric level of recognition
that
Purple Rain did. But when you really listen to those albums, and real Prince fans will tell you, they'll pull out some obscure shit that he released on, you know, back in 1988, you know, on a special day, because it was, Prince fans are fanatic, but they'll be like, none of those albums are the best ones, you know. They'll pull out some shit, man, that, I mean,
in his daddy's basement, like in the movies.
Right. It'd be on a Maxell cassette tape or something. This is the best shit Prince ever made. You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, I really felt like that I had to string those together, because in the absence of Purple Rain, all those albums are on par. They're solid. And when we talk about having the same energy, having the same type of musicianship, obviously Prince is a multi-instrumentalist, so the instrumentation is going to be tight, you know, but yet there was growth and there was experimentation. So if you're just looking at radio hits, I mean, honestly, it's just 1999 and Purple Rain. You know, Controversy has some hits, had some radio play on it, but we look at the hits, it's to me, those are the two best. But the other ones are so solid because they had such good music on it, and they did have some songs that are ingrained in our head. Yeah. You know, those are eventually, you know, they stick to you. So that's my number two.
Okay. All right. All right, and I guess you know what my number one is. It's Tribe Called Quest. And, it's just, the albums are on my wall in my house. You said it. I just echo, I wish you had them at number one so we could echo it together, say it together, but it really, how you said it is, if you put those two albums together, and it still shows growth. And yeah, people's instinctive travels and the Paths of Rhythm before that was really hot too. But again, I had two albums, and I think
the only difference for me, it just the newness of the soundscape showed. You know what I'm saying? Because it seemed like that the Low End Theory and Midnight Marauders really, you know, Chip was in his bag. You know what I'm saying? He was just really cooking. Mm. Where before, with People's Instinctive Travels, and I'm abbreviating it because it's a long ass album name.
Yeah.
On that particular album, I kind of felt like that it was more. They just took the sample and kind of wrapped around the sample a little bit, if you know what I'm saying. It wasn't as much.
Their debut.
Yeah, it wasn't as much. It wasn't as thorough.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, we got to Low End Theory. He was really flipping. He was really flipping samples and stuff.
He showed his artistry in Low End Theory, and got with Bob Power, and then next thing I know, boom, Midnight Marauder. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's just amazing. So I think. I mean, to me, it just goes
with the trajectory is definitely with those three albums is definitely like this. It's not like this. It's this way. It is a straight arrow up. You know?
Yeah. What I'm saying? And as far as personal impact, again, Low End Theory was released the first month I was in school. I was a freshman. And I said this on previous shows. Someone gave me the tape or whatever. I put the cassette tape in. I was like, wow, this shit is dope. You know, I knew about Native Tongues, but, you know, when you're in school, you're around a lot of people from different places, New York, whatever, you know, so that's how you sort of get what you got. So, but I've been in love with Tribe ever since. So, but
me too, man. I heard
biased enough. That's my number one, though. Low End Theory and Midnight Marauder.
Yeah, when I heard Low End Theory, man, because I actually wasn't a Tribe fan. Low End Theory made me go listen to the other album because I totally missed. Because you got to think, I was in Tennessee, so
yeah, I was in South Carolina. I get it,
but I mean you went to a black school, so that's that's, I mean, wasn't to me.
Well, you meant during that time?
Yeah, during that time period.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah.
So yeah, Low End Theory made me go listen to the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, my number one is Michael Jackson, and with Off the Wall and Thriller, and you could really add Bad on there if you wanted to, because Bad had hits, because Bad's the one that had
Bad was Bad.
The title track had freaking
Smooth Criminal,
that Man in the Mirror. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. It was hit, so I put Bad on there too. Okay. I remember they played the video, man. I think it might have been during the Super Bowl?
It was a CBS. I don't think it was Super Bowl. It was something. And it was a Sunday night.
It was like, here's Michael Jackson's video.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, what? So, I mean, you talk about cultural impact. I mean, that alone puts that album on in that trilogy. I don't think, man, Thriller is... It keeps going back and forth with the Eagles as far as the best-selling record of all time worldwide, but
man, it's the best selling.
But I'm just saying, man, there is not a set of three albums that can top. I put you like this: when you when your fall off album is the one that has the smash hit Remember the Time on it, which is a black barbecue staple. You know what I'm saying? When that album that was produced by one of the most prolific hip hop
and Ted Riley.
Yeah, when that's your fall off album, you know what I'm saying? When that, that's what you falling off to. That's what you falling off to. And you, I mean, and that was a Dangerous was a dope album. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when that's your fall off.
It album, was.
When that's your fall off album, that shows you how strong these other albums really, really were. But
I like Dangerous better than Bad.
I do too. I do too.
Yeah. But, I mean, Lamar.
This is the thing, though. The reason why I didn't put that on there, I didn't put that on because it really just was. It was so far. It was.
Yeah, that was another 6 years. Or so.
Yeah, it was so far off of what those other albums sound like, because you got to think, let's say for instance you did put those albums together, you would have Off the Wall, which has a tinge of disco to it. They even got a song on it called Burn This Disco Out or something, or something like that. So has disco on it. And then you have the Thriller, which has, you know, funk and the punk rock with Beat It and all that stuff on it, which was during the MTV era. Then you got Bad, which is even more pop, popish, pop rockish. Then you go to New Jack Swing. It's just so, it covers so much that this to me, it didn't really fit. It, this is something that by itself, you know what I'm saying? But, but again, I mean, what can you say about MJ, man? It's just,
you know,
it's just absolutely crazy, man. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, so, it is. And that Bad came out August 31st of 87.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but I do remember, like what you said, it was like CBS at 7 o'clock, Michael Jackson's new video, you know, type of thing. Right. And it's like,
It was Black and White. The song Black and White is what was the single off of that.
Right. Oh, wait, no. Black and White was Dangerous.
You sure?
Yeah. Black and White was Dangerous. That was his debut.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. It was on that. It was the it was I'm Bad.
Yeah, I'm Bad. Yeah. That was was it Wesley Snipes in there?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Now the album was released in 87, but I don't know when the video was. Mm-hmm. So I'm just on internet, that's all. Yeah. But when you said that, I was like, yeah, something was. It was like some event or so. And I remember that video dropped. Was something, it seemed like all eyes were on CBS. I think it was CBS. And isn't it somehow time has changed? Well, we used to wait on videos to drop. Even on MTV, man, I would sit there like wait to like, see when Thriller.
They have this in the world premiere video.
I would wait to see when it's going to premiere again or come back on, because I kept missing Thriller. And it's like, yo, you ain't seen Thriller. I was like, man, I can't catch it. You know, so you had to wait.
What, 17, 18, 13 minutes long, something like that? It was a trip.
Yeah.
They stopped the world for that shit too. So, I mean, but that just goes to show you culturally where he, you know, where he was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whenever he dropped something, it was, he's king of the big budget videos, man. You know, everybody wanted to be there. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is. But all right then, man, that's
Yeah, man.
That's all I got, man. I want to let everybody know that, you know, in addition to YouTube, we're going to be, you know, promoting the podcast on Instagram and Facebook like we normally do. Hope you guys are enjoying the new medium. Hope we bring a, you know, different spin, you know, on it. And, you know, we're still out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, all the normal places that you would actually find the podcast. And, you know, hope to interact with you guys a little bit more in the future. Reg, you got anything else?
Nah, man. Be good, be safe, behave, brother.
All right, man. We out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression Reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the new. new, what's the new? And occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass judge decides to fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, then you should probably hurry, it gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, then you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.